How timely a subject for us to know that, as we well know, that he was crucified for us. I think we should turn our hearts and minds to the very emotional and important truth that we have in this subject of crucifying. Brother Fry.
Paul, I want to deliver to you a message from the Jersey City Ecclesia with whom we worshiped last week, and they voted unanimously to send their love and their greetings to you here. Are you able to hear? That any better? No. As has been announced, his crucifixion. And perhaps there isn't anything that militated against Jesus' messiahship as much as the scripture that had been given by Moses to the children of Israel, wherein it was declared that cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. So that you might have the proper basis and understanding for this, we're going to read for you that portion from Deuteronomy. It's found in the 21st chapter, verses 22 and 23. Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in no wise bury him, that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee as an inheritance. Are you still able to hear me? Not too well, huh? I guess I'm too close. You see, I hear the echo. Maybe I should stand in front of it this way, I guess. How is this? Is this any better? No? This way? The eyes have it. I don't know. Brother Caterva was doing so nicely up there. I don't know why I don't do as good, but... We will repeat. We're reading from Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, the 22nd and 23rd verses. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Before I go any further, is that any better? I'd like to bring to your attention the fact that this signifies crucifixion. Unfortunately, the Authorized Version is not too good in its rendering of the text. The Jewish Publication Society renders it this way: if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be defiled, or be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. Now, this is the part that I'd like you to notice, that the Jewish mode of hanging a man on a tree was after he had died. The Roman method was to put him on the tree until he died. The Revised Standard Version puts it this way: if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on the tree. You see, the thought is, after the man has been put to death, he is hanged on the tree. The purpose of this was to add ignominy and shame. Not that the man would feel this any, but it might act as a deterrent to others who may be tempted to commit the same crime that this man had committed, by which he was worthy of being put to death, blaspheming against God. Now, when Jesus was crucified, however, dear friends, he was crucified not by the Jews, but by the Romans. Jesus knew that this was going to happen, and he speaks to his disciples before the crucifixion. And in his remarks to his disciples, he makes mention of the fact that he would be delivered to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would crucify him. They would pierce his side. How did Jesus know this? He knew this by virtue of the 22nd Psalm, in which David prophetically speaks of Jesus. He gives us even the words which Jesus uttered at the time: "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He says, "I am a worm, not a man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people." He came to his own, and they received him not. "And they that see me laugh me to scorn." They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, "He trusted on Jehovah that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." But we come down to the 16th verse of that 22nd Psalm, and there we read, "For dogs have compassed me." Dogs, as you will recall, was the name that they used for the Gentiles. "Gentiles have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." So prophetically, it had been declared concerning Jesus that he was to be delivered to the Gentiles, and that it was the Gentiles that would crucify him. So we're reading for you that portion of the 20th chapter of Matthew which bears on this. "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again from the dead." Now we'd like to say, dear friends, in bringing this matter to your attention, that Jesus was not really crucified on Calvary. Jesus was crucified at Jordan. It was there that the man Christ Jesus died in God's sight. But he was able to say "it is finished" only when he reached the cross. So that from the time of his consecration to the time of his crucifixion and death on the cross, he was undergoing a crucifixion. But we say he was dead in God's sight as the man, but he was alive as a human being for those 3.5 years in which the baptism that he had entered into at Jordan, at which time God considered the man Christ Jesus dead. Do you remember what you do with a dead man? You bury him. And this is exactly what John did with the figuratively dead man Christ Jesus. He buried him under the waters of the Jordan. Of course, he was raised up again. But the scriptures tell us that from then on, he walked in a newness of life. The animal had been slain in God's sight. And those of you who have studied the tabernacle shadows of the better sacrifices will recognize that Brother Russell on page 51 of the tabernacle shadows declares that the bullock was slain at Jordan. Not at Calvary, but the bullock was slain at Jordan. The man Christ Jesus is dead. It is appointed to priests once to die, and after that, the judgment. The judgment of Jesus lasted 3.5 years. And during that time, he spoke of this death that he had died figuratively as something that was still taking place. He spoke of it as a baptism. And he says, how I am straitened or pained until it be accomplished. But God accounted it as already having been completed. The man Christ Jesus was dead. But we say that the new creature had no new body. The new creature had to use the old body until the time would come when Jehovah God would clothe it with its spiritual body. So that crucifixion, insofar as Jesus was concerned, while we speak of the man as being dead, his crucifixion was of a live man, crucified until he was dead. I hope that you get the import of this, dear friends. I'd like you to note that Jesus was crucified at the time that he entered into his consecration with Jehovah. And that death was not really accomplished or completed until on the cross he could cry, "It is finished." Now, before taking you any further along that particular line, I'd like to bring to your attention the fact of what crucifixion meant for Jesus. As far as the fleshly man Christ Jesus was concerned, he was subject to a crucifixion which the Romans never visited upon a Roman. You don't read of Paul, who was a Roman citizen, that has been crucified. If anything, he was beheaded. Crucifixion was for aliens, for those that were foreigners from the Roman government. And so it was decreed that he should be crucified, and the manner of crucifixion was this. The holes were already prepared to receive the crosses. The crosses were already ready. The cross was laid on the ground, and the prisoner was laid upon the cross. Then his hands and his feet were tied to the cross so that he could not get up. He could not jump. He could not run away. And after he was fastened to the cross, they took spikes, great big nails, and hammered them through the wrist, not the wrist, but the hands, the palms of the hands, and also through the feet. Now, of course, you can listen to that, and it might not affect you too much. But if you had to witness that scene, or if you had to be the one who suffered this agony and pain which Jesus must have suffered, this was crucifixion in the most literal sense. And the only reason I bring it to your attention is that that was only symbolically the crucifixion which Jesus endured. In the first place, he was crucified when he declared, "I've come to do thy will," as in the volume of the book it is written of me, "to do thy will." That is when Jesus was crucified.
his own will with cloth, by the will of God, during all the remainder of his human existence. On one occasion, just before his crucifixion, when he became aware of the fact that he was to be crucified as a malefactor, as a blasphemer against God, at that time, he didn't feel that that was quite becoming. Had he not always done the will of the Father? Did he not, during his ministry, proclaim the fact, I do always the things that please the Father? And now, why should I die this type of death, which gives me the name of a blasphemer against God? God, you know that isn't so. But if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. And then he adds, not my will, but thy will be done. Here is an evidence of the crossing of the mind of God with that of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. This is an instance that is brought to your attention for your comfort. I say for your comfort because there are times when you will have to recognize very specifically that the mind, the will of God, is contrary to your mind of the flesh. And you have a tendency to go in the direction of the flesh. But having been crucified, you can't do this. The Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, and incidentally, this is the text, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Because he adds, nevertheless, I live. That's the new creature. Yet not I, but Christ. Because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Jews, of course, believed that they were specially blessed because they had the law. And they were. But they were also especially cursed because they violated the law. Having had the faith of Abraham, they would have never been under the law, because the law was unable to make anything perfect. So when we consider the Jews under the law, they were under the law because of the fact that they did not come up to the standard which had been manifested in the life of Abraham, whom God promised that his seed was to bless all the families of the earth. Now Abraham's seed, therefore, would have been one if I had exercised faith, if Abraham exercised it, when he was asked to offer up his son Isaac. He didn't hesitate. Always probably thought the matter over. But you notice how wise and how shrewd he was, if I might use the expression shrewd. He didn't dare tell Sarah anything about it. Of course, if he'd spoken to Sarah and said, well, I'm going to offer my son Isaac as a burnt offering to Jehovah, he just said, what's the matter with you? Have you lost your mind? Don't you remember that Jehovah said that your seed is to be the seed of blessing to all the families of the earth? And if you're going to offer him, I'm the Salvino's son. This was a miraculous birth after all. And so, rather than take anyone else into account, it was just Abraham and his God. You know, sometimes, dear friends, in the matter of your crucifixion, you may be tempted to ask somebody else for advice. It doesn't have to be anybody in the world. Truth people can set you wrong just as easily as worldly people can. And the pattern that God has given to you is not others. There's only one pattern, and that is Christ's teaching. The Apostle Paul recognized this when he told those that would listen to him. He said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Oh, yes, you can emulate the example that is set before you by others. But don't make them the pattern. The pattern that you have is Christ and Him crucified. And since Jesus' crucifixion commenced at Jordan at the time of His consecration and was not completed until on the cross He could cry, it is finished. So if it is your consecration, you too have been crucified. Notice it doesn't say, I was crucified. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Not a thing in the past. It's something that's going on continually. And if you are to be identified with Jesus in the glory of the kingdom, it will only be because of the Apostle Paul's writing in the 8th chapter of Romans, that you are being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. We had the pattern then set before us. And the Apostle Paul tells us as much as this, that for those who are crucified with Christ, the crowd according to His purpose, God said that all things to work together for good. Our translation doesn't read that way, but that's the way it is in the Greek. God causes all things to work together for good to those because according to His purpose. And His purpose is that every one of them may be conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. Now He says, on the other hand, God's purpose is one that we have from before the foundation of the earth below. And we have been to your attention the fact that God, in order to demonstrate His power to all for sense and truth, either on the third plane or on the other plane, is to be a witness to His justice, His wisdom, His love, and His power. Throughout God of hosts, they have recognized His power, His majesty. They probably have never been able to understand His justice. God didn't give very close. That He became, when Lucifer became the enemy of God. God didn't permit the human race to be tempted into sin. And so God said, I'm going to give a witness to all creatures everywhere. So He arranged this little earth as a little amphitheatre upon which the drama of the ages is to be enacted. To create a man that is only an image and likeness, that knowing beforehand that this man is killing himself and enter into death. He didn't prepare the whole world. This demonstrated His economy that He is speaking. So He would put man upon this earth, and all of the angelic hosts, all creatures would be witnesses. The Apostle Paul speaking of us. So, if we are expected to men and to angels, they are spectacles because we are part of His Christ. But God had purposed and planned before the foundations of the earth were laid. So if you and I, like Jesus, we have to bear witness to the character of God. Jesus is God's life. And if you are Christ's life, then you will be God's life. But the demonstrated witness, demonstrated uncharted life is justice. How do you use love? He took one of the creatures that had been, one of the morning stars, Und es kam wirklich durch die erste Lösung, und das Amt des Führers, des Fürsten, und die erste Lösung. Bezeugt hat der Mannensdorfer, das Song zu sagen. Und heute wissen Sie, so ist Gottes zu sagen. Führer, der Gott ist hier, der Samstag, 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 undefiled, and separate from sinners. That was Susan. Now, if you're to be identified with Jesus, you're not clearly harmless, undefiled, nor separate from sinners. The God sent this wisdom to arrange this soul. But the merit of the perfect man Jesus might be included to you. And not because of this, you could respond to his calling as a called Jesus. The call of our calling is about Jesus. And this is a clear consecration unto God. Because only God could put aside the religious condemnation lifted to demonstrate our justice. That the fact that we are loving one man die for another, that was Christ's spirit. You do not swear in the wrong sense, but you do swear in the sin offering. And the sin offering is merely the application of the ransom merit. Sometimes it tests you from artists to wear in the cutting out of sorrow. The ransom is but there. And so there is a really very interesting answer, but if we look on page 51 and 62 of the Covenant of Shadows, so the verdict rather represents to our conscience that the first animal to be slain was the bullock. And the bullock represented Christ Jesus at the age of 30. That's the time when he died as the bullock. But if you go on to the next page, you'll find since the man Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom, indicating that the bullet represented the ransom made of Christ Jesus, you could have gained millions of gold. There would have been no redemption. But only one bullet. And then the instructions are given to Aaron to go on to the altar. He was told to offer his sin offering and his burnt offering for himself and the people. For himself, since he was a type of Christ Jesus, it could not have been put to the hurt. It was put to the body of Jesus.
But to do it himself, to die, made atonement
for himself, his body members.
There is a view of the author, maybe with the carbonate, we also recall that the bird author, which the author then cannot be with the sin author, the head was cut off, placed upon the altar, unwrought. That the body members, the rock, we further the load upon the altar, one animal, one sacrifice, the cross of two sight and two sin.
It's not the head of the high priest that wore the garment of linen. It is the body that required the covering.
But you see, it is in this wise that God takes some of the redeemed from the earth.
He has darkened this Christ Jesus, as Peter says. He's not Christ's promise. Whereby we may be made partakers of the divine nature. In the prophecy of Obadiah, the last verse in Obadiah, the 27th verse, the verse on chapter in Obadiah. You notice that there is a very, very peculiar expression used there concerning Christ and the Church. That verse reads, "And Saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the house of Esau and the kingdom that leads to the Lord." Now God's plan was not merely to reveal his own character, his justice, his wisdom, his love, and his power, but also by way of this, redeem the man who had been condemned and all that is condemned in him. He purposed that there should be an age or a dispensation in which Adam and his race would have the opportunity of walking up the highway of holiness to perfection. The kingdom was originally Jehovah, and he placed that his representative in the earth, Adam, but Adam after the likeness that God had a dominion, just with his dominion, but it was usurped. The adversary who becomes Satan, who originally was Lucifer, one of the morning stars, took Jesus, his brother, sending him forth from heaven like lightning. You see, too, Lucifer, who had become Satan, the enemy of God, the perfect plan of God at every point along the road. But you have a vile adversary. He comes to you as an angel of light. If you ever want an excuse for anything that you want to do, not to try to create a promise you don't understand, but you want God to understand it, the adversary will help you find a scripture. And he'll give it there. Oh, he can give you the scripture. Here he makes a prize for his scripture. And so you have this faith to receive it. When it's a monster consecration unto death, when his own will will be crucified and the will of God, Satan comes to him and he says, "Jesus, I think this is a wonderful thing that you endeavor to do for Jehovah. But you know, you're fasted now for 40 days and 40 nights. You're tired. You're hungry. You lose strength if you've got to carry on this mission." You know, if the adversary didn't say it on his scriptures, that he can get you along the lines of the flesh, that's the beast he is driving. But Jesus said, quoting scripture, God does not. Or rather, a man does not live, except by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. Man shall not live, except by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. Then you decode the scripture, and this is what you and your crucified righteous have to do. You have to make the scriptures your own, not somebody else's. He says, "I like the scripture for so-and-so." Don't get trouble with that. That's why so many are weak. Nothing wrong. All the time having to ask questions, and maybe the same question over and over again, never live. That's another reason why to go. I'm calling for we have 10,000 instructors that be fathered. Jesus has quoted 59 of the adversaries of God, and it is 62. I suggest to you that you go down the pinnacle of this company and cast yourself in the court below. So if you do this, if the judge, the angels have been given a chance in front of you, don't think that you can pick out on the old scripture that you wish to buffer something that you want to do that you haven't taken into account, remembering that God's will is to be your will. You're not to have any will of your own. The only will that you are to have is His will. Because if the Lucifer is the counselor, and since Christ, the mind that was in Christ Jesus, is the mind of the Father, notice the construction of that song. But then to them like this, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus."
the second state of his mind that is that God inside Susan, but that it is also inside Susan. Something that you live by the faith of the Son of God, whose mind has been imputed to you. And so, of course, Susan, if he has stumbled, God's going to vindicate him forever. But suppose instead of it, he's listened to the adversary. Just suppose that God has seen whether he will do it. He's done it, now let's see whether he does it. Not God, is he? So he's got to do it, it's God. It would have been displeasing to God. But Jesus knew this. And he said, I've got my tongue, the Lord knows that I've perfected your tongue. Now you have put him around your lungs at the front. The girl, there's only one thing left. That's the devil himself. And so he said,
they're mine. That's the usurpation of the Mount of Esau. We'll tell you a little more about that.
But Jesus knew right well the source from whence the temptation comes. And this temptation, along the lines of the world, the flesh, and the devil, comes to everyone who is crucified with Christ. No one escapes it. It is only because of your Christ-like faith that the hope of God can give you that kingdom. Now, it says here, I'm Savior. It doesn't say you, do me. Savior, then come up on Mount Zion. Come up, you see. You will make it, you see. Before you consecrate it. Your consecration is accepted. You lost your right to life on the human planet. All that you have is a spirit nature. If you don't attain that, you're then in sudden death. But, you see, those who are to be saved have to be like Jesus. Instrumental in redeeming the world of mankind. This is what the picture that you had in the synopsis. See? Now remember that the merit is not in the fish. The merit is not in you or in me. The merit is in the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. The Passover lamb that is slain, represented Jesus and Jesus alone. I hope the devil won't mind if I use this illustration about. You know when they took him that lamb, they took it him on the 10th day. And 5 days thereafter, they killed him. And somebody come along with an interpretation. But for 5 days it was on a water diet. So that it might be purged from within. How could anybody that understand the mystery of God, and who understands the ransom sacrifice, who knows that that man represented Jesus, what need would he have to purge him? No need. But this is a day, and this is an age, when the adversary is found those who are the final members of the body of Christ itself, the longer he can speak. Any of those that are in a consecrated state, any of those who are crucified with Christ, from atoned unto, you ask it. They wish to have been apprehended. It means somebody else to never take their place. And those that to have some size and experiences, unless he would prolong the period. But the last part is not going to be able to prove that, you see. Because there's one mightier, there's one stronger, one who. Now the fact that it's so good to have to come up on Mount Zion, that's the heavenly kingdom, to trust that the Mount of Esau. So what is the Mount of Esau?
The kingdom that God gave to Adam in the beginning, and he was to be king. That is the substitute by the adversary. But God has come into existence a race of kingdoms from the beginning of the earth who are going to judge the man of Esau. The kingdom that should be of earth. And they are doing the millennial age. There is the constitution. That kingdom of Esau is doing God. And they're making their way up the highway of holiness to the God. All the encouragement of the affinity of God. And this is the way that God has set apart. Still revealing his character of justice, wisdom, love, and power. Taking someone who has abased himself and exalted him. And in the final analysis, taking him who exalted himself and abasing him, destroying him, and all the women in the second death. Number two, Roman soldiers had come up on Mount Zion, the 144,000 together with Jesus, to drink them out of Esau, the very man found in the millennial age. Man will have been restored through the kingship, the Shulah. And it adds here, the kingdom for those who hold it should not be overthrown. Are you going to be one of those soldiers? That's gone down Mount Zion to judge them out of Esau, to help the world of mankind up and up. So if that's the case, we have to begin right now. It's not good for a long time, in fact, we're not going to be there to have a joy on it. Unless for you to live with Christ and you live the crucified life. Every moment that you live, you have to live in harmony with the will of God. When we consecrated, that's what he said, wasn't it? He wanted to be God. God says, you're God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit means you don't have a body. Except for those ones. That's the one there that you touch the Spirit. And you touch the Spirit. You have a hard time. But he touched you too. He's given you an advocate. An advocate is not a mediator. A mediator stands between the people and God. But an advocate stands with us before God. And when we consider God's grace, we've been just with love and power. If he is a substitute constitution, and if he has begotten you with his own Holy Spirit, you can rest assured that he is too wise to earn, that there is no duty to be unkind, that he is absolutely just. And unless you live the life of the crucified and are able to say, as Paul said, for me to live is for Christ to live and to die is gain. That's what I first said in the Philippians, in the second chapter of the 25th verse. He says, for me to live is Christ. It's not you who live, but Jesus that is living. He also says, for unto us it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Some of you will recall how that Jesus and his epistle gives us the comforting thought that you all think about flames concerning the fiery trials of the causes, though some strange thing happened unto you. Is this God? Then as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, they're not you, they're his, the righteousness of Christ. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also. You see what he's saying? Oh, he's a God. He's already God.
but you'll be glad also. And then it says, if you please in Christ, for the name of Christ, your lot is a happy one. So the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, the people who criticize you, the people who reproach you, because you live in the Christ life. It says here, on their part, he, not you, the Jesus spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. May God bless you then.